Stream your favorite shows on ESPN975.com.
It's really quite simple.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
You all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how you doing? And the time is finally here. It's playoff time in Houston.
No, I don't need Clay Walker. I need baseball. And in just a mere hour or two, well, we'll call it two, we will have baseball. And scanning the globe to make sure you get the coverage you need from a city that Barry may soon call his favorite in Texas, but he hasn't done that yet. Barry Laminack from San Antonio from the Riverwalk, watching Charles Barkley's favorite chubby women and waiting to watch Astros baseball on television.
Dude, I am so geeked up about this game. I cannot wait. I'm so mad that we're on the air when it starts.
Yeah, me too.
I'm pretty upset about that.
Me too. I was going to buy a ticket.
I don't want anyone to ruin it. I don't want to know what the score is. I don't want to know what's going on. I want to hurry, scamper back to the abode here in San Antonio so I can start watching it from scratch. But I know that's not going to happen. I know as soon as Springer leads off with a home run, I'm going to get 1,000 Springer dinger tweets, and that's going to be it.
You don't have a television in said studio or broom closet where you can stay up to speed?
Yeah, I'm in the broom closet, and no, there is no television. There, I am looking at two blank computer monitors. And of course, the last time I was here, the picture of the skyline, it's not actually a skyline that freaks people out.
And that's not, okay.
Yeah, so there's nothing. Yeah.
Well, at least you've got my relatives as computer monitors. I'm always pleased to hear that. I don't know if you heard because we were all in the process of getting this entire shenanigan set up. By the way, welcome to Jong Snow as well. Jong, who has degraded himself to step down a notch, going from the Blitz and doing our show as well as Nick is traveling. And Jose is on his way to Austin for a concert. So, hey, Jong, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you.
No problem.
What does it feel like slumming with us, John?
Yeah, no doubt.
Does it suck for you,
slumming,
bud?
I kind of miss like just getting to the station and just prepping and then doing shows, because when I get to the station now, all I do is like check emails, make sure everything's in order. But it kind of felt nice just to kind of sit by my desk, prep, and then get ready for a show.
That's awesome.
Are we gonna make this like the Blitz, where we do all the stuff that the Blitz does?
Like what?
I don't know. Like we could do a Jewel of the Day. I don't know. We already get accused of stealing y'all's stories. Can we talk about this for a minute, Joe?
Yeah, we get accused from the people on the Blitz of stealing their stories. So
that's true.
It's
how
not
do you guys claim
listeners.
A story? I don't understand that.
I don't know if
we get in trouble. Like if you guys do a story, like I don't know, like a hooker on crack story, and then we happen to not see it until the next day, and we talk about it. Everyone's like, y'all stole the Blitz's material. And we're like, it's just a news story. How are we stealing?
Yeah, it's not a bit that you're stealing. It's just a news story. And I think a lot of people also say that we've done the stories that you guys did already, and then we've done stories that, you know, John and Rahil have done, and it's, you know, and Fred.
I don't think people know how the news cycle works.
Yeah.
It's just out there, right?
We don't, but the good news is we don't go back, rehash it, and exploit it, as opposed to someone that may or may not work with you from 4 to 7 that goes, okay, so I was driving in, and Barry mentions this story, which we mentioned yesterday, which means they're listening to us, which means they're stealing our stuff, which means they're not doing their prep, which means it's just another day where they're stealing stuff from the Blitz. I don't know who that is, but I've heard it before. I'm just
old
saying.
Old Salty Joe.
By the way, your boy was in rare form last night. AJ with a very leprechaunish green pressed shirt, black pants, and a jacket rolling through the massive kickoff for Sports Map last night at the Hotel Zaza. That was an impressive party, I must say.
Did you wear your moisture-wicking half mock turtleneck underneath your vest?
No, Fred borrowed it the last time, and I still haven't gotten it back. Anything with a turtleneck is more synonymous with Fred these days. With the remote tomorrow that we're doing in Beaumont, I'm anxious to see if Fred goes full turtleneck this week or if he scales it down to just a mock.
It was only going to be 100, so he'll probably rock the wool sweater.
Did you see Fred yesterday, by the way? I know, John, you did.
I didn't, man. I wanted to see how the gala went. Was it a smashing success?
Great success. Lots of people, radio, TV, sports likes. Everybody was there. Huge, huge positive feedback on the kickoff to Sports Map. But if you want to check it out, it's a great site. Fred is doing a great job. Yeah, and there's a lot of great information there. They actually had some, when you registered, they had some neat iPads up with the site right there so that people could access it and check it out. And people were really digging it. Very positive feedback. So it was a cool night.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. They've got the lines and odds for the upcoming games. They've got a poll. And they also have a preview of the Astros Red Sox Division Series. So all good stuff, man. Check it out. It's Fred. Fred put his heart and soul into that, man. You guys at least go give it a click.
No doubt.
Make it a new destination for yourself once a day.
Now, fellas, I don't know if you were listening on the way into lead into our show, but the Godfather himself, John Granato, has blessed us, and I don't think they were from him. I believe he probably inherited these from someone from the station. But we have 4 tickets to a certain event happening in less than 2 hours somewhere in a very juicy major league-type sports venue, and I believe it's postseason-ish. We have 4 tickets at our front desk. We are going to give those to a listener. 4 tickets to a juicy major league type venue for a said postseason type event. We need a hook. We need something that proves listeners deserve these tickets, Barry. I have something in mind, but I'm going to pick your brain. What are you thinking for how these people can win these tickets?
Well, first of all, I wanted to guess, is it roller derby?
No, that was last night, and I think based on the injuries and the lack of lubrication on the roller skates that they're going to postpone the next event. Just saying.
I didn't think you could make roller derby sexual, but you just tried.
I did.
I don't care, dude. I'm down for whatever. I know you've got some ideas. Throw them out there. However you want
to
do it.
Since you listen to the usual suspects, people, and the only thing that we need to determine is if we're just going to make this like a phone call situation, a Twitter situation, but Barry has referred to a certain city as being more cosmetically beautiful than that of H-Town. He has made reference to that said city several times in the past several shows. You need to identify that city, right? And then we need to determine if we're going to do this via a phone call or the app. Or Twitter.
I say you can do a phone call.
All right, John.
It's easier, right?
Let's do the first person that can call in and accurately and correctly identify the city that Barry has referenced as being more cosmetically good-looking and beautiful than that of Houston.
Okay, you guys want these callers on air or just off the air?
No, just off air. We'll get a winner as long as they get it right. And we'll have those 4 tickets available at the front desk here in the studios. And if you can't go, don't win. It's just that simple. Because you got less than 2 hours, and you got to be able to get here to the station in the Galleria area and pick them up and then head to said juice box. We are here for you, but you have to kind of work with us. So first person to get that question right and can get their butt to the station in time to pick them up and get down there, you are a winner. How about that?
I like it. Hey, can I tell you something? Good luck to whoever calls in and gets it. I think you gave them a layup, so that's good. At least you didn't make it difficult. As you know, I quit smoking several years ago, and I was a longtime smoker. I started when I was 13 and quit when I was like 31. So it was actually the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life until yesterday when driving to San Antonio and I passed a Buc-ee's and didn't stop. I didn't realize how hard it would be to not stop at Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's is like gas station crack, really. I feel like when I drove past it, my car naturally just started heading to the exit. And I was like, no, I can't. I have to make good time. But my bladder wanted to go to Buc-ee's. My car wanted to go. I couldn't. It was so tempting. And I didn't really need anything or want anything.
It's really
maybe
you and I were trying to explain this to Charlie the other day, who's never been to one. And we were both talking to him, I didn't think it was that big of a deal for you. I know you have a palate for beaver balls. But I didn't think that that would be enough to make you want to sway wayward off the road to use a Buc-ee's.
I didn't think so either, but I noticed that, you know, like, it's Buc-ee's isn't like a like my sister loves Buc-ee's. Like, she's got shirts and koozies and stickers and all that, and she's weird about Buc-ee's. And I didn't think I was, but then I've realized I've never not stopped at Buc-ee's when I pass it. I always either stop because I need gas or I have to use the restroom or I'm hungry or I need a soda or something like that. Yesterday was the first time, and then as I passed it, you know, I started getting the shakes and I started cold sweats. And I was like, well, this is what it's like to quit heroin. It must be. This isn't easy.
Let's be honest, because we passed one on the way to Beaumont when we do remotes like we're going to do again tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And the bottom line is you use a quarter tank of gas passing a Buc-ee's because they're that damn big. It's like right. A Walmart and a gas station and a Target all rolled into one. I mean, they just keep getting bigger and bigger every time I drive by one, and I've never seen or gotten the fascination. But obviously, for those people that have grown up with them always accessibly close in this area, they're putting up more. I guess it's a thing?
Yeah, they are starting to move them in. It used to be you could only get them when you were on a road trip, if you're
right.
Heading to Dallas or San Antonio or whatever. But now they're starting to be pretty normal things. So, yeah, it's going to be something like, you know, I don't know, like In-N-Out Burger or something. Once there's enough of them, you're like, eh. Whatever.
All right. Well, I just don't understand it. But and the beaver balls thing, I'm not even sure what they are. I just know that people
talk
about...
They're called beaver nuggets, not beaver balls, Joel.
Okay. Well, what's a beaver nugget?
They're beaver nuggets.
What is a beaver nugget?
It's like a... You know what it's really like? You ever had Corn Pops, the breakfast cereal?
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of like that. They're just bigger versions of that. They're delicious.
Okay, and I guess
you would love it.
I guess they're fresh, and they maybe melt in your mouth.
You,
I don't know.
You would love it. I promise you.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys are going to love the next 3 hours because we are going to be on the air from 1 to 4, as we always are, to entertain you and get you caught up to date on a lot of different things. There was a wild card game last night. The Astros, as we mentioned, or somewhat mentioned, are playing at 3:08 today at home in the first game of their playoff series with the Red Sox. All the series are set. The games are starting to get underway with the Astros and the Red Sox today, then the Yankees and the Indians tonight. Should be a lot of fun, a lot of ground to cover. And, oh, by the way, Sigmund Bloom again, 2:30 today. So get your questions in now for fantasy football. You can text us to the line, 713-780-3776, the HRNP listener line. You can call us during the Sigmund segment, but it's only one segment. Or you can tweet us. Barry and I are going to do our best to get a rapid fire going with Sigmund so he can get you as many answers to your questions as we can. But keep them concise and try to get them lined up for us in advance so that we can move quickly. Is that fair, Barry?
I like it, yeah. And there tell people in the text line to stop sending pictures. I'm not opening them. That's weird. Don't text pictures to the show.
Pictures should be sent to @BarryIsFunny on Twitter. He likes links as well. And again, if you're in San Antonio tonight, Barry, where are you performing?
I'm not telling you because you're going to tell people to come hug me, and I don't like that.
Everyone should search, go to @BarryIsFunny and check out his page and check out where he's performing tonight. And if you're in the area, please make sure he gets a long sensual hug with an exhale on the release, which goes with breath towards his ear or neck. And again, and as a parting shot, if you can tap him in the genitals as you're walking away, it's almost like a farewell with love. We appreciate
that. I'm at the River
that.
Center Improv. If you want to fight, come and do that.
River Center Improv. And Barry will be waiting for you with open arms. We've got a busy show today. John, Barry, and myself are going to be here till 4, so don't go anywhere. Much more to get to in just mere moments. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I want to tell you about the great program that I've been telling you about for a long time now, and it's the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a fantastic program here in the Houston area, and what makes it so special is it's you, the people of Houston, doing good things for kids in Houston trying to get a second chance at an education. What I mean by that is with Hurricane Harvey or maybe the fact that you just have a car or a trailer or a truck or some kind of motor vehicle that's on your property collecting rust and dust, it may not even be working anymore, and you need to get rid of it, here's how you do that and also feel good in the process. You get in touch with the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com, 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you. They do the paperwork. You get a tax deduction. You mention ESPN 97.5, and right off the top, you get a $50 gift card, and that's where the process really begins because they turn your donation into resources for kids that don't need distractions when they're trying to get an education. It could be eyeglasses. It could be warm meals. It could be bus fare. It could be anything and everything that is a distraction normally that could actually help them get through their day, including getting a good meal or maybe even book money that they can't afford. All that is possible because of your donations. So please think about it, and if you can, give generously, because they're going to make it work here in the Houston area. It's the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Happy birthday, ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
We're 10. If you thought we were degenerates before, wait until we hit puberty.
Hold on to your butts.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You could be my Black Kate Moss.
Jon Snow filling in for Nick, Barry in San Antonio, and yours truly in studio here in H-Town as we continue with The Usual Suspects on a Thursday. Barry, I'm sure between the time you left the show yesterday and today when we got on the air, there had to be things that truly got under your skin besides not pulling into a Buc-ee's that need to be brought up in our normal TWAB segment in case you are living under a rock. The world, according to Barry, normally has some pretty interesting stuff. What's on your mind right now?
Dude, I was so pissed yesterday driving out here because I'm like, we're cruising, right? First of all, you remember last time we discussed me coming out to San Antonio and I got on the HOV lane / toll road for Katy and got passed by a guy on a scooter.
Yep.
Remember that?
I do.
Yeah. So I didn't make that mistake this time. But I get through the traffic and I get out on the open I-10 roads between here and San Antonio and there's nothing there. And the great thing about Waze is it'll tell you if there's cops ahead. So you don't really need like a radar detector. If you just pay attention, you'll know where the cops are. So you can kind of do your own thing, if you know what I mean. I'm going along and I'm trying to keep up with these other two trucks that are hauling ass. And we're going, right? And there's, you know, it starts to get hilly a little bit. We're going down a hill, and I look down, and I feel my car, like, quit almost. Like, it just stopped. I'm pushing the gas, and all of a sudden, it just stopped. And I was like, what's going on? And I look down, and I'm doing 99, and my car won't go any faster. It just stopped accelerating at that point. And I was so pissed to find out that Chevy won't let me drive faster than 99 miles an hour. Like, what's? I know I shouldn't be going 99. Save your lectures, people out there. But I got beat by a Ford and a Toyota that just left me behind. We were all just cruising. No harm, no foul. Not weaving in and out. Nothing crazy. Just three kids doing 99 down the freeway. They left me. I was
so
pissed.
So you have
no
idea. Golf cart governor on your truck?
That's what it comes down to. Yeah, my truck is just a big ass golf cart.
So that you know not to drive on tee boxes and greens, but also in fairways, you can't go more than 99 miles an hour.
I was so mad. I just like, really? Like, why would you do that? Like, stay out of my life, Chevy. I don't need you to tell me how fast I can go. Man, I don't understand that.
Crazy.
And then people start tweeting to me. They're like, yeah, you know, Nissan, the Titan doesn't have that. Tyler Miller's like, Titan doesn't. Man, I was so pissed. And now I'm like, well, now I feel like I'm driving around with a handicap. Like, I can't, there's certain things I can't do.
I think a lot of people that pass you on the road think the same thing. But the thing that I was going to ask you about, so you're basically saying you stayed out of the HOV lane instead of being passed by a scooter. Because the first time you said was, I wouldn't make that mistake twice. I thought that meant when the scooter tried to pass you, you'd like open up your driver's side door and just like clothesline him and take him out.
No, I did. I hopped on there for a little while, and then as it started to slow down, I got back off again. I was smart this time. I learned from my mistakes the previous time.
Okay.
Also, driving in, you ever have like listen to a song and then notice something that you've never noticed before, and then it ruins the song for you? Have you ever done that?
My wife points it out almost continuously, simply because of the fact that I'm not a guy that analyzes the lyrics in songs, and she's the one that,
right.
Like, there's a song that I've liked for 10 years, and it comes on the radio, and I go, God loves you. She goes, what? have you ever heard of the lyrics to this song and what he says he does to, like, a dog or something? And I'm like, oh, righty. No, but you just ruined it for me now, because now I'm going to have to listen to the lyrics, and now I'm never going to think about it the same way.
Well, as you know, I can't stand people crunching their food. The repetitive noise of crunching drives me insane.
Yes.
But pretty much in general, repetitive noises drive me insane. All right? So I'm driving in, and I'm do you like the song Black and White by Michael Jackson?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to run it for you.
Okay.
I'm driving in, just listening, and the song comes on, and I start to notice this chirping sound. And I'm like, is there a cricket in my truck? And it's in the song, and it's part of the snare drum, and I can't not hear it now. And I'm so mad because I really like that song, but I can't listen to that song now because it's just this constant chirping on the snare drum of Black and White. It drives me insane. So go listen to it if you get a chance. It'll ruin it for you. I was so pissed.
Look. I knew with as good as Jung is, I knew he would do this.
This isn't it.
Yes,
this
it is.
This is not this Michael Jackson.
This is the prelude to the song, correct, Jung?
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yes.
I always just listen from the
this
beginning.
This is Macaulay Culkin pounding on the drums in his room.
Is it really? You know, I never heard this part of the song.
There it is. Dad's going to tell him to shut up.
Oh, look at you. No! Is this right before he touches him?
I was going to say, he wants to touch Macaulay Culkin at this point, and the door is locked.
He won't let him in. No, I don't want you to touch him anymore, Mr. Jackson. This is going to be ruined. I love this.
No, Dad, I won't put the Neverland underoos on. Now leave me alone.
Sure. Oh, my God. Is this the video?
Oh, it's on the album.
No.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
You hear it?
I do not.
Do you not hear the chirping?
Jump?
Chirp.
No.
I
chirp.
Do not.
Listen. Oh, my God. You guys can't hear the chirping?
I hear it a little bit now.
It's right on the snare drum.
It's like a locust, John. It's more like a locust in a tree.
It's, like a
it's not a cricket. It's more like a locust to how they kind of do that lighter rattly thing.
I hear it. I hear it.
I will never think about it again when I hear this song.
Stupid-ass noise. I really can't unhear that dumbass noise now, and it ruined the song for me. That's all I focused. I was fixating on it, and I had to change the channel because it was just driving me insane. Is that not weird? That's what happens in my weird-ass mind is I notice stuff like that. That's so sad.
Yeah, Jose filled in for us yesterday. Jung's eating right now in the studio, and he doesn't have to deal with this. But in our production meeting yesterday, we were all in there, and then all of a sudden I walked out, and you were in the conference room down the hallway, and I'm like, what's up? And he's like, bro, you know my deal. Jose's in there eating Subway. And I walked in, and Jose's like, where's Barry? I'm like, there's certain things you just understand when you've worked together for a while, but when you crunch louder than a tree falling down in a forest at a high rate of speed, Barry's not going to be able to stay in the room with you.
Oh, no. He was getting after them chips, man. I had to go. I can't do it. And I don't blame you guys. It's not, you know, anybody's fault. It's my own weird idiosyncrasies. So.
Well, we blame you because I don't know all of what you get on your Subway sandwich, but I can tell you that when those teeth go piercing through that bun, whatever's in the middle makes some weird sounds, too, but we just get over it.
Yeah, I get pickles on there. It makes it crunchy.
By the way, your new little picture on Twitter, the Air Barry profile, where did that come from?
That is Trump. That is, I'm going to tweet that out. Go at Barry is fun if you want to see it. I'll tweet out the bigger version of it.
Oh, that's the paper towel in Puerto Rico.
Yes. That is Trump being Air Jordan with paper towels.
Nice.
It's hilarious. This is why I love the internet. But yeah, at Barry is funny on Twitter if you want to see it.
Whoever
made this is a genius. Whoever made it is a genius.
I was going to say, did you pilfer that from somebody? You borrowed that person?
Yeah, I wish I could take credit for something that smart, but I can't.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hit the break on time so that we can get to other things. There was a wild card game last night that was definitely wild. Both wild card games proved to be quite entertaining and way too long. But at least those are behind us, and now we can get to the divisional series, which start in less than an hour and a half-ish here in Houston and also with one tonight in Cleveland. Barry and I can talk about what happened last night, what to look forward to this afternoon and in the Red Sox series. A certain starting pitcher was left off the playoff roster. It may surprise you to find out which one it was, because it kind of surprised me. We'll get Barry's thoughts on that as well, and we'll continue to roll on. It's Jung, it's Barry, it's Joel, it's the usual suspects, right here on ESPN 97.5.
97.5. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
2-2, two outs in the seventh. The pitch. Fly ball well hit. Left center field. Back towards the wall. It is to the bottom of the wall. Lamb scores. Descalso scores. Bradley to third. A 2-1 triple for Archie Bradley.
Hey, we're back on the Usual Suspects. That's how it sounded as it was all going down, a mere 6 hours and 47 minutes from first pitch till that point.
I exaggerate, I kid, but another marathon baseball game wrapped up with reliever Archie Bradley knocking in 2 runs with a triple and leading the Diamondbacks past the Rockies 11-8 in the NL wildcard last night. Again, these first 2 games of the playoffs were not poster children for starting pitching, for sure. Hopefully that won't be the case for the Astros today. But a crazy game in Arizona last night.
Yeah, dude, if you can't get into playoff baseball, I don't know what to tell you. These first 2 games, while, you know, last night's game wasn't pretty, like you said, from a pitching perspective, that was fun to watch. That's a fun, that, I mean, for me as a baseball fan, that was fun baseball. You got pitchers hitting triples. You got guys just answering the call when they're, that was fun baseball. The other playoff game, the other wild card game was fun between the Yankees and the Twins. Yep. I mean, back and forth after the first inning. The crazy thing is, when you look at starters and how well they've done so far in the playoffs, this is exactly the reason, and I'll say it again, this is the exact reason I wanted Brad Peacock coming out of the pen. No starter has gone longer than 3.5 innings.
Yeah, and you know what? Combined. You've only mentioned that 57 times. But, you know, you're right.
Well,
you look at it.
I mean, look at them, though. Look what they're doing. Combined, 7 1/3 innings, 18.41 ERA for the 4 aces on these staffs.
Yeah, you look at the amount of just pure pitch totals in the first, say, the first inning of the first game, the American League game, the pitch totals were in the high 70s. Last night again, Greinke's cruising through the lineup the first time he faces him. Second time around, a totally different story. The wheels start coming off. And granted, you didn't want to see a yawner, a 6-0 lead at one point for the Diamondbacks that just was a start to finish boring game. But there's no way you could have expected that it was going to come out with all these fireworks before it finally ended at 11-8.
Yeah, crazy, right? 11-8. But, I mean, these two teams put up ridiculous numbers to begin with. So, and that's not a total surprise for me. I think Greinke not doing well was a bit of a surprise. I thought Gray would have pitched better. He pitched well in Arizona. So I was a bit surprised in that. But you know what? That's what happens in playoff baseball. I was watching the MLB Network the other day, and they were talking about literally every pitch you have to be laser focused. Mm-hmm. Everything matters now. You can't just go out and be like, well, we'll get them tomorrow. That's not how this works anymore. So everything has to be hyper focused. And some of these guys lose their focus. And or in the case of Gray, I mean, he talked about the fact that afterwards, John Gray of the Rockies was saying when he went out there to take the mound and pitch, he was nervous. Everything sped up on him. And you always hear about, you know, veterans telling these young guys slow the game down, let it come to you, don't try to rush. He said he couldn't help it, and he paid for it. He gave up 4 runs in an inning and a third.
You saw it, and they talked about it with the Yankees and Severino, the same exact thing. That look on his face, that lack of any kind of ability to relax. He looked tight. He looked nervous. And the same thing with Gray. And then after the game, he said, look, I tried to be too technical. I was trying to, you know, paint the corners. I was trying to do too many little things, and I got hit with some big things, mainly a Paul Goldschmidt home run and the Houston area native once again showing what you probably missed unless you had MLB all year long on your TV. This guy's a legit MVP candidate, and he hits the hell out of the baseball. And the one thing that I go back to, just like I did, you know, when we were talking about it before the wild card started, these two teams are so good, it's a shame they only played one game, because you can't sleep on Colorado either. They have a really solid ball club. You pick them to be a wild card team. I will give you the credit before you can beat me to it. But I'm telling you right now, these two teams right here, they could play a 5 or a 7-game series, and I have total confidence it would be entertaining.
Yeah, I would have loved to see them keep playing. I mean, it's kind of a shame, but it's only going to get better. I mean, there's better pitching to be had in the playoffs than we've seen in these first two games. And that's, you know, that's part of the reason why these were all wild card teams. Let's be honest. If they've got, you know, aces up and down that staff, maybe they would have won more games. But the Diamondbacks and Rockies can certainly put up runs, and it was awesome to watch that kind of baseball. I'm with you, though. If this is the one time I would have been okay with a wild card being a 3 or 5-game series, and then we could go back to a 1-game sudden death. But, yeah, fun so far, man. If you're a fringe baseball fan, Give some of these games a watch. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
No doubt. And surprised. Now, you know, it just gets ramped up even more with the impact that these series are going to have. You're going to be seeing intensity. You're going to see where every mistake can be completely blown up into being a game changer. So everybody's going to be ready to play, and it's going to be fun to watch. It starts with the Astros and Red Sox. By the way, I had to tweet producer Tyler Scott last night to make sure that wasn't him that hit the triple when I saw Archie Bradley pull up the brakes on third base, because the beard and everything, he's got a little Tyler Scott look to him, and he's a little nuts, which kind of ropes that whole thing in. But did you notice who he hit it off of?
Yeah.
Astro Pat Neshek.
It's funny because I'm watching Neshek. So I was at my show last night, but they had the game on out in the lobby. So I was sitting out there watching it. Neshek comes in, and they were all talking about, man, this guy's really good. I was like, eh, you guys don't watch Astros baseball. Trust me. There's no one I would want on the mound less than Pat Neshek right now. And sure enough, he gives up a triple to the pitcher, and they were like, bro, how did you know? I was like, I'm telling you, man, I've seen enough of Pat Neshek to know that dude, when it matters, he can't. He can't even.
You think they gave the ball to Archie Bradley after the game and he went into the Rockies clubhouse and tried to get Neshek to sign it for Zach Greinke?
That would have been outstanding. Hey, can you sign my first playoff triple, please?
And then if he said no, have some kid come back in again and go, hey, could you sign this for Zach Greinke and just see
the reaction?
That would be fantastic. God. I was thinking about that.
That would have been really good.
Yeah, so you know what? And the other question I was going to ask you was, with Greinke going short last night, does that almost kind of become a positive for them because he can come back quicker in the Dodgers series than he would have if he went deep into the game last night for the Diamondbacks?
Well, I mean, he got almost to 60 pitches.
Yeah.
And you got to remember that there's the warm-ups and everything else that these guys do. And I don't know. You know what I mean? I think if they needed him to come back on short rest, they're lucky he only went three and two-thirds innings.
Yeah, that was
as opposed to 6 or 7. But yeah, he's kind of on that borderline. You know what I mean? It wasn't 15 or 20 pitches, and then he got run. He got in there quite a bit. I mean, he pitched 2/3 of a game, essentially, from a pitch count perspective.
Yeah, and the Diamondbacks don't have the luxury that the Dodgers have, as we've talked about in the past, about how many starting pitchers they can go to. But the Diamondbacks rolled through a lot of pitchers last night, including their closer, Fernando Rodney. They went to 6 pitchers last night, all getting loose and throwing. So that's something that's probably going to, you know, factor in at least early in the series against the Dodgers. But it should be interesting to see how it all plays out, because the Dodgers, as we mentioned, it's, even before the trades, had starting pitching, but they've got a plethora, much like the Astros, getting ready for this series.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to talk Astros lineup for a minute?
Yeah, sure. Why don't we can tease it, or John?
Yeah.
We're getting close.
Yeah, we're getting close. You guys can tease it, and then we can talk about it on the other side.
Yeah, so we mentioned it,
that works.
You and I have talked about it, but there was a pitcher whose last name starts with M, and maybe even a C, that was left off the playoff roster, and another one that was left on. And I think it may surprise some people, including yours truly and Barry, when it gets down to who was left on, who was left off, and then the class response of the guy that was left off. Interesting stuff. Astros baseball talk coming up next on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Way Back Wednesday's been replaced by Way Out There Thursday. Barry, Jong picked the song, not me. I have no idea anything, but he's very terrified that you're probably going to say something about it.
What? What happened?
Wake up in the broom closet.
Why is this? Why are you so emo right now, Jong? What is this?
He's looking.
That's very emo.
I misclicked.
Oh, did you? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is this better?
See, even Jordan missed a jump shot every once in a while.
Is this better?
I hate you. Chirp! It's like the Barry Warner invaded this song. Chirp! Chirp! Oh, God, it killed me now.
You had to go with the Warner reference, too. By the way, final tidbit I don't know if you saw from last night's game. Major League Baseball now investigating why the Diamondbacks had a coach in the dugout wearing the electronic watch that was used by the Red Sox to steal signs.
That is, I think it's interesting because they banned the watches in the dugout.
Yes.
And then he had it. Now, what are the odds or the chances that he just forgot?
I would say that. Yeah, I would think that's probably the case. But like Jong said, they're not going to go back and take the game from them because of that. They can fine them maybe. But I would go.
They might suspend him from the bench or something like that.
I would go with you, though. I'm pretty sure that was just an honest mistake.
Because I would forget. Like, especially if you wear your watch every day, it just becomes part of your wardrobe or your attire. And you're maybe timing because he maybe is doing certain things. I don't know. I would forget, and then it looks bad, but I think it might be worse than it is. But you never know. I mean, you've seen dumber things happen, but boy, that would be pretty egregious to think that after everything that just happened with the Red Sox about a month ago, they're out there trying it again.
I mean, but come on, for that to come up now after the game's over, I think PETA called and they're going to try and find the Diamondbacks too because they let a bird into the stadium last night that almost got hit by a line drive. So that's getting a little technical. I mean, the game's over. We get it. That's not stuff that even needs to be publicized at this point, unless, like you said, it turns out to be a bigger deal. But I'm not holding my breath that that's going to come out with a follow up.
Yeah, I Googled it when you mentioned it, and then the first source that I saw was DodgerBlue.com or something. And I was like, nah, but it was picked up by the New York Times or New York Post.
Yeah, it's a headline on ESPN's front page now, too. It's starting to make the rounds. With that being said, the playoff roster came out this morning, the official playoff roster for the Red Sox and for the Astros. One surprise that caught me immediately, and I think that the suspense was taken out of it when A.J. Hinch the other day said that Tony Kemp and Max Stassi were sent to Florida for extended workouts so they could be ready in case they were needed. So you kind of knew from a position player standpoint, but we knew that what was up in the air with the pitching was the pitching staff. No surprises really out of the bullpen part of it, but Colin McHugh left off, Lance McCullers on. For the first round series against the Red Sox, your thoughts?
Well, I think you know where I stand on this. I lobbied hard for Colin McHugh. In fact, I thought he pitched well enough where he could have been your Game 3 starter. And I say that because of two reasons, which I've mentioned ad nauseum. But I really like having him out of the pen, which is why I wanted Colin McHugh to be your third starter. I think Morton has pitched great. Don't get me wrong. There's no knock on him. He's done outstanding work. But I just feel like Colin McHugh has been the most consistent pitcher, not just now, but over the course of several years. I mean, he's always been steady. Is he great? No, he's not an ace. He's never going to be. But as number threes go, he's one of the most consistent guys in the majors. I mean, game in and game out.
He's not overpowering, but he gets the job done. He's a professional pitcher, and he's pitched in the playoffs before, which I think should not be discounted either in the fact that he has playoff experience.
Yeah, I mean, he had 12 starts this year, 5 quality starts, a 3.55 ERA after coming back from the injury. He's, you know, strikeouts aren't like some of the guys. Like, he's not going to put up numbers like McCullers. I mean, Peacock was averaging almost 11 strikeouts, which, as far as starters go, led this staff. And that includes guys like Keuchel. So, you know, I personally would like to see it, but I get it. That we talked about this yesterday. This Astros rotation from 1 through 6 might be the deepest left in the playoffs because they have a couple of ones, a two, and several guys that could be a three on most teams. So I get it. Somebody's got to go. It just kind of surprises me that it was McHugh, especially when you consider how McCullers struggled down the stretch. But when you got a live arm and a power arm like McCullers has, I think, Hinge is just like, well, I guess we rolled the dice because, let's face it, if you need a guy to get a strikeout, who do you trust that could has the gas and the curveball and everything else? Other than McCullers, if it was between McCullers and McHugh.
Yeah,
so.
I think McCullers.
I guess that's
that.
Why the decision happens, but
he's made it. They already said McCullers is going to be available for the first 2 games of the series, so you know that. My question only being there, are you also going to get him his work in case for the American League Championship Series that you need him as a starter, that he's still going to get the work in so that his arm is ready to go and can go a good long while if he is a starter? That'll be interesting to see. But the other thing that's interesting, and I don't know if you caught it or not, but Jong was good enough to get the audio from it. McHugh handled the entire thing with such class and dignity, and his response was fantastic.
I want to pitch. I'm here to pitch. That's what I do. That's my job. That's what I get paid for. So not to be able to do that, it's a little disappointing, but like I said before, nobody's entitled to anything here. This is a privilege to be on this team. It's a privilege to play Major League Baseball. And I have been super blessed to be able to contribute to this team. I've been hurt all year. I was hurt half the year, and it very well could have been that I came back and didn't have a spot for me. So to be able to come back and contribute for 12 starts to this team that's been able to do something really special is it's special to me and something that nobody can take away from, not whether I'm on a roster, off a roster, whatever. So it's going to be a fun week. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited for what this team has ahead of us.
Yeah, I just thought that was class from him. Because he could have handled a lot differently.
Very classy response.
Yeah, I mean, he could have gone in the tank, and he could have pouted. And he went on to state, too, that he's going to stay ready because he feels like he'll be needed in the next 2 series. I commend him for the way he handled the entire situation.
Really classy response, and I don't think anybody expected anything less than that from him. He's always handled himself well. And carried himself with dignity. I mean, he did have one start against the Red Sox, at 4.5 ERA. He went 6 innings, gave up 3 earned runs. That's not bad. You know what I mean? I'll take that, especially when you consider the pitching you've been getting thus far in the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, he's probably right, though. The injuries and not coming back in time and not getting enough starts under the belt probably hurt him a little bit. But let's be real. It's not like Lance McCullers came back and lit the world on fire. He finishes the regular season with a 4.25 ERA.
Yeah.
That's not stellar.
And every time you watched him pitch when he was trying, and I think he was pressing because he wanted to impress to try and get on that playoff roster. But I think the one thing that you saw was the first time through a lineup, he could be effective. You know, as long as he had control of the curveball, he could get through the lineup the first time. But the second time, there was a combo platter from hell where he started to lose control a little bit. Hitters started to know what they had seen, pick up some tendencies, and then the wheels started to fall off rather quickly. So he may end up being David Price on the other side of the equation. For the Astros, if you need a power pitcher that's going to be more powerful because he's not expected to go like starters pitches in a game, he could come in, throw a lot of heat. Like you said, get a strikeout when you need it with that curveball. Maybe if you need him to go an inning and a half, he'll be available, but it'll be interesting to see how A.J. Hinch chooses to use him.
Yeah, that's you're right. I mean, it's got that David Price feel to it, right? That Robbie Ray feel to it, where you've got a guy, you've got this ace in the hole, so to speak. And maybe that's the plan, right? Let Peacock go out and start. And then, you know, Lance McCullers would be what I want Brad Peacock to be. And that's okay. I just have more confidence in Peacock because he's done it this year. In fact, if you look at his numbers and his ERA and you compare him out of the pen versus him starting, his numbers as a pitcher are better coming out of the pen. That's why I lobbied so hard for it. But I get it makes sense to me to have McCullers play that role, especially since he still, you know, didn't get a lot of starts under his belt coming back. The thing that surprises me more than even those moves is the Astros only keeping 11 pitchers. When you look at how many pitchers these teams have gone through, and just in the first couple of wild card games, it lets you know a lot of these bullpens have already been taxed. You know what I mean? If you look at the Twins, they used six pitchers, including their starter. The Yankees fared a little better because they had some guys that could stretch a little bit, but they ended up using five pitchers. And then, of course, last night you had the Diamondbacks going, what, six, seven deep?
Yeah.
And the Rockies almost emptied the bullpen. So if you get into a situation like that, the Red Sox, you know, they can catch fire and put up some numbers. And if you're trying to keep the game close because you've got an offense that even if you're down four runs, this Astros offense can make that up. So that's why you want to be able to have a plethora of arms available to you to keep you close within three, four, five runs. I was a bit surprised that they didn't have a few extra arms given what's happened so far and the fact that you could play matchups a lot more. Because we talked about it yesterday. A lot of these players are in the field and in this lineup can play multiple positions. So if you had an injury, you don't need as many bats, I don't think.
Well, let's keep in mind, too, that from the perspective of Peacock, the fact that you are able to put Peacock in that number three spot is simply because of the luxury of having a Chris Devinsky who can still kind of provide that Peacock role I think you're referring to, in the fact that he can go a long time for you as a long reliever if you need him to be. And you also got a guy that was a former starter in Musgrove that in your pen. So, you know, the same luxury you're talking about with position players, you do have a little of that in the pitching staff as well, with some guys that have been starters that can go for you if you need them to.
I'd be interested to see how many innings, because we know in April, Devinsky trotted out there and put up a couple of games where he went two and a third, three innings. But I don't think he started to wear down a little bit, and I think they got away from using him in long relief and really started to use him more in high leverage situations where the game was on the line or there was runners in scoring position and they needed to get, you know, an out. So I'll be interested to see, you know, innings-wise, how much he put up. Those first two games, he went four innings. I don't think he went four innings after that. I'm looking through his box score lines. In fact, yeah, he put up two and a third sometime in August, but there's not a lot of that after those first couple of games of the year. So it may just be that Devinsky got tired.
Yeah, I was going to say, the whole bullpen got tired. As we know, one of the main reasons that instead of a strength, it became kind of a question mark was the fact that they just had too many innings and too many pitches in that bullpen because of all the issues they had with starters. So it'll be interesting to see. He has done the long relief thing in the past. But you're probably right. I mean, I'm sure A.J. Hinch would like to avoid that, but at least he's got 86 pitchers on his roster that he can roll through if you watch the Diamondbacks game last night in case you need it, and then reset it when you get ready to head to the American League Championship Series, as we all expect them to do. So let's take a quick break, step away. We've got one in the books, two to go, plenty more of the big show. 2 hours still on the schedule for both me and you and Barry and John. And by the way, again, reminder, Sigmund Bloom, 2:30 p.m., Fantasy Football, one segment and one segment only. So get your fantasy football questions to us quickly. That means 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call or text or hit us on Twitter. We'll get those questions lined up in rapid fire with Sigmund at 2:30. Don't go anywhere. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To ESPN 97.5.